Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9-1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But they love eating people. They love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural. Lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. Seeing a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Welcome back to Cryptids of Corn Podcast. I am the great and powerful mystery.
And I'm Jay Clone, season 7, clone number 78.
Oh.
You sound disappointed.
I am disappointed.
Why?
I thought it was going to be like a fun number.
78's pretty fun.
78's pretty fun.
Because if you take nobody 7 ever. Plus 8 equals 15. And 15, 1 plus 5. Is 6, and 6 minus 2 is 4, and 4 is Brett Favre's number, and Brett Favre can throw a football really far. He's pretty cool. All right, welcome back, Crypts of the Corn. See how that little train goes? That train of thought?
It was interesting.
Sometimes you just got to know how to, you know the end point. It's just navigating the way to get there.
Just love, like, yeah.
I just wanted great. To see the blank look on your face. All right, welcome back. Welcome back, Crypts of the Corn. Live show coming up soon.
Oh, there's a bunch of them. Make sure you guys get tickets for it.
Yeah, our live show in April 5th with Matthew Orton.
In North Little Rock.
Mm-hmm.
It's like...
at Old Bart's. They just remodeled.
I seen that.
Yeah, we just found that out, well, as of today, of recording. They just remodeled. Live show April 5th. Get your tickets at cryptsofthecorn.com. And then we also have another live show in June 15th, at Rita Lane's at Ada, Ohio, our hometown, with famous author Michael Thompson, UFOs and sea creatures, sea monsters. Yes, and Ada, our hometown. Tickets also available at cryptsofthecorn.com.
Good. You did good. Losing my voice, so... I picked an easy one. This one may be a little shorter. An interesting one. And it looks like we're having 2 Bigfoot weeks back to back.
Oh, no way.
Mm-hmm. It's been a long time, but Bigfoot's been on my mind, honey child.
Huh? What song are you singing?
I don't know.
Oh. It's been such a long time.
So I was on a episode of Midwest Skywatchers a couple weeks back, and they brought up something I'd never heard of before, the Bigfoot War of 1855.
Hmm. No, I've not heard this either.
I haven't either. There was a war with Bigfoot. They had assault rifles and everything.
Bigfoot did?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, come on. Let's get for real. Bigfoot don't use assault rifles.
How do you know? I've seen it on a shirt.
I've seen that shirt too, but...
Well, David Hardy has a tactical Bigfoot. Tack Squatch.
Right.
If, but it, if also,
Brandon was a Bigfoot.
There's a coffee company that has that too.
Yeah, tactical... what?
No, Black, it's Black Rifle Coffee.
Oh.
As a, like a Sasquatch one.
They do?
Yes.
Oh.
I think it's Black Rifle. I don't know.
I don't know. I've never had it.
We, a listener sent it to us one time. We have had the one with the Sasquatch.
Oh,
on
we
it.
Did? We've been doing this too long. I don't remember.
That was a long time ago. That was a long, that was like the first thing that ever came in the P.O. box.
Hmm.
Speaking of which, if you want to send us anything in the P.O. box, it's P.O. box 7580 Ohio 45810. Send us art or coffee or whatever you want.
Or a nice letter.
I love the letters. Or kids' drawings are always fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Back to Bigfoot.
A very bizarre encounter happened in 1855 in the region of present U.S. states known as Oklahoma and Arkansas. It was literally the exact same area we were talking about last week.
It's kind of very close to our live show.
Yeah, I mean, within hours.
Yeah.
The other side of this, we're on the other side of Arkansas.
Oh, okay.
This is like the Texarkana area again.
Right, yeah. Yeah, we were just there.
Yeah, I just that's why I did them back to back, because it was very fitting. Where the once the mighty Choctaw Nation of the United Americans ruled over this area. In the years, there was an apparent skirmish between an unseen bandit venturing from the wilderness to steal vegetables and even livestock.
Okay.
This might have been the end of it if it was not for the claims that the trespasser was said to have soon generated to kidnapping people, mostly children, which provoked a fearsome reaction from the local tribe. So it all started in 1855. The center of Choctaw Nation. Some bandit was stealing livestock and vegetables. And the Choctaw were kind of like, yeah, you know, it happens, right? Just a part of life. Until they started stealing kids, and then...
Then it was one step too far.
Things started getting lively.
Food's one thing.
A search party was allegedly formed, composed of a group of uncommonly large cavalry warriors called the Light Horsemen. The largest of whom was said to have towering the Humus Tubi and his six sons. So that's his name, Humus Tubi.
Okay.
His six sons, which were widely reported of standing around 7 feet or more in height.
This is the
Choctaw Nation.
Wow.
So this special group was called the Light Horsemen. Most of them were this guy and his son. So yeah, him and his six sons were like 7 feet tall.
That's insane.
I mean, you know, these real giants among a contingent of 30 other very large and fierce horseback rider warriors headed out to a part of, or so led by a part French, part Choctaw general named Joseph LaFleur.
Or LaFleur?
LaFleur, LaFleur.
Yeah.
Either one.
It's French.
But, well, he's also part Choctaw.
Oh. Half Cherokee and Choctaw?
No, half French and half Choctaw.
Oh. My baby, she's a Chippewa?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't know how close the Choctaw and the Chippewa nations were.
I don't know, but that song's probably all messed up.
So the general led out. Their mission was to find the culprits and put an end to this reign of terror.
Okay.
So you got seven giants along with 30 normal Choctaw horseback riders and this general, part French, part Choctaw, went out to hunt the guy or guys that have stolen vegetables, livestock, and kids.
I mean, we've heard stories of natives, too, some of them being extremely tall.
Yeah, some of the Native American groups are huge.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind, this is right near, you already mentioned it, the Toltec Mounds in Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
Which those people said that live there were also massive.
Okay. Well, then, and the people, I mean, this is pretty far away. But
Lovelock.
Well, you got Lovelock, and then you go south to the Patagonia in South America. Way south, but still on this side of the this side of the world, Americas.
Yeah,
it's just people over here. I'm just saying there's people over here.
It's like, I'm going to guess like 5,000 miles away.
I understand that, but I still think people were here.
Patagonia is on the very tip of South America.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm aware.
Okay, I'm just saying it. So that's
what I'm saying is there was giants.
There was a lot of giants in North America.
On this side of the pond, there was giants stretching from Canada down to South America. Okay.
Okay. Don't gotta be mean to me.
Well.
As they headed out to the wilderness in the early morning hours, the tribe capital in Tusklahoma. So that's where they were from. Fully armed with high-powered rifles, pistols, and a thirst for vengeance. These menacing, proud warriors had no doubt a thought that they would be a simple matter of routing out some ragtag group of bandits. Yet, what would happen would be quite bizarre.
Mm.
So they're pretty sure that they're just going to go murder a guy or two
that's
screwing with them.
Right.
I mean, how would you say if there's seven massively tall guys plus 30 other horseback riders coming to hunt you down?
Right, yeah, you're pretty much good as dead.
Yeah. The group of warriors penetrated deep into the region known as McCurtain County Wilderness Area of present-day Oklahoma. And after about 8 hours of riding nonstop through the blazing June heat, they stopped to spot near the Clover River to rest and eat. Before remounting and continuing on the last leg of their journey. Sorry, I'm losing my voice. It was after nearly 14 hours of almost nonstop riding, the men reached the area where the bandits were said to be most active. So keep in mind, the Choctaw Nation is huge.
Okay.
So these guys have been going around the whole nation of the Choctaw and messing with them.
Okay.
So they were going right to where the heart of the problem seems to be. And it was there that LaFleur suddenly gave the order to halt, as if he had seen something or something had caught his attention. Using a crude telescope, LaFleur peered into the distance, and the men rumbled amongst themselves, and the horses huffed and chuffed. The general claimed that he could see something moving about ahead and voiced his confidence that it was the enemy before putting his telescope aside and giving the warriors the order to charge.
Mm.
I see something ahead. That's whatever we're here to fight. That's it.
That's the thing, yeah.
The massive, bloodthirsty warriors must have been quite a sight as they howled and rushed as their horses through the trees in a mad dash into battle. Weapons drawn and ready to fight. Yet their powerful drive forward was soon brought to a halt by the unbearable stench of decay and death. It hit them like a wall, and their steeds began to inexplicably buck and rear up, just going nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Profound panic, knocking most of the men off on the mossy ground, weathering the hackles and coughing. Such an intense surprise to the olfactory assault. So yeah, they hit this wall of smell. The horses stopped.
Yeah.
Kicked all these guys off. Most of the horses were trying to run away. The ones that were holding them, holding the horses still. Horses and the men started coughing and like gagging.
Because they're so bad.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's infrasound scaring the horses. And then the smell. I don't know.
I mean, it could be a mix of infrasound and smell.
Yeah.
It could be a bunch of human corpses. And it not the typical Bigfoot smell.
That's true. Because they say that's like the worst smell in the world.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
A rotting human or dead human body. I mean, rotting is probably the better word, but decaying.
I've been around dead humans.
Yeah.
Rotting humans, I have not. I've been around rotting big mammals.
Mm-hmm.
And every fiber of your body says get away.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I've been around big dead deer and stuff. There's the ones like dead floating in the creek. Smells awful.
Cows, pigs.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to think of some. I mean, I've been around like rotting cows, and it's just everything in your body just tells you to not be there.
Yeah.
All right. Now I got to find where I was. So some of the warriors, including Tubi and LaFleur himself, were allegedly able to control their animals and advance past the nauseating wave of rot and rush towards the bandits. And as they exploded out into the forest clearing, the source of the stagnant stench was clear. At the center of the clearing, they found what they described as some sort of earthen mound that had embodied within it a strew of numerous corpses.
Okay, you're right.
Varying levels of decomposition, drawing a fog of flies so thick that it startled the warriors.
Oh my gosh.
So there's this giant mound. Just shoved full of human corpses of varying stages of decay. Some were like within hours.
Yeah.
And some were months old.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's horrible.
So many flies, it was like a curtain.
Well, fog, they said.
Yeah. I mean, I've I've been, like I said, around some dead animals and seen like flies. Not maybe that thick, but
that was like the flies when I told you that my basement was infested.
And you had a curse. Kids. Yeah.
That's weird.
I mean, what are those flies eating?
I have no idea.
Exactly.
I don't even know how they got down there.
Okay. Of human bandits, there were no sign, but looming nearby were three enormous monsters. These ape-like creatures covered with hair, so tall, they dwarfed Tubi and his kids himself.
Hmm.
So the seven-foot-tall Native American warrior, these three ape monsters...
made him look small.
Tiny. These beast men, reportedly stood there glaring in their direction, completely unafraid of the Native warriors.
Yeah, wouldn't you?
I mean, keep in mind...
You're that big, I mean...
Well, there's 30 horseback men and seven giants...
True.
...in this Native American regiment. And these three Bigfoot-like monsters are just sitting there just staring back, like challenging them back.
Right, yeah.
I mean, that's already not typical. I mean, all the murder and death isn't typical Bigfoot behavior.
Yeah, the mound of corpses isn't.
It's a dirt mound with corpses inside.
Oh.
Like a cave.
I know what that is.
Okay.
I figured we'd wait.
Okay.
Unless you want me to spoil it, because you get mad when I spoil it.
I don't have an, like I said, I've been very sick and tired. I don't really have.
It's a fairy mound.
Hmm.
The fairy mound they stuff full.
Hmm.
Did I do it?
No.
Did I ruin your thing?
Mm-mm.
I don't know.
It's a very dirty fairy mound hole now that I'm thinking about it. Like,
I don't know. You're making that face.
No, it just is gross.
Yeah, it is gross.
So what supposedly happened, Nick, was a dramatic and over the top as any action movie. LaFleur had said that they had charged these strange beasts without hesitation, pistol and saber in hand, howling the whole time. One of the creatures stepped forward and lashed out its massive hand to swat the general's horse on the side of its head with a thunderous blow that sent it spewing to the ground dead instantly.
Gosh. Just knocked the horse out?
He slapped, backhanded the horse and it died. Yeah. And its head pretty much exploded. LaFleur was ejected to the ground and was soon on his feet with his pistol blazing, managing to hit the wild man several times, but barely slowing it down at all as if it did nothing to the creature.
Like a guy that's on some controlled substance.
So bath salts.
There you go.
Even after sustaining several gunshot wounds at point-blank range that appeared to be bleeding badly, they seemed to have not felt it at all, and even lunged forward to grab the man by the head and rip it clean off.
Holy crap. Yeah, we're not dealing with anything good here.
All of this had happened before the others had even had time to react. So LaFleur's got his head just mushed.
That was LaFleur?
I'm pretty sure that was LaFleur.
Gosh.
Just had his head ripped clean off. Horse slapped backhanded and dead.
Backhanded to death, yeah, in one shot.
This one Bigfoot has already been shot, like, point blank pretty much all, like, six times. And then, yeah, not reacting. So, like I said, this all happened before. Everybody else had time to react, nor indeed even process the situation at all, that they had witnessed in wide-eyed stupor. Upon seeing their general slumped to the ground without a head as a vicious ape creature loomed over his carcass, they proceeded to produce their rifles and launch a volley of bullets at these monsters, which managed to drop one of them.
That's okay, go on.
Keep in mind, it's 30, well, let's see, 36 guys are left.
Okay.
So that's a lot of rifles just...
firing at these things, yeah. But but this is also probably not like how long ago again?
1855.
So the rifles ain't like...
I think there was repeating rifles at this time.
Was there?
I don't know. Look it up.
I don't know either.
Look up the first repeating rifle. Cartridge rifle.
Okay.
Even if it wasn't, I guess look up first cartridge rifle. Because that would, as long as it wasn't a black powder, like packing it in.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like the muskets.
Mm-hmm. So I think they had cartridge rifles for the Civil War, right?
I feel really dumb right now. No, 1860 was the first introduced
cartridge.
That's what this is saying, and not saying it's right, but
the Google AI overview.
Yeah, that was the first thing that pops up. What was the first? 1846 was patented in Paris. Was the first fully metallic pinfire cartridge containing powder in a metallic cartridge.
This is a decade later, so they may have been around.
Yeah, they might have been. All right.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
So yeah.
Either guys, way, it's not repeating fast.
Giant ape starts shooting. A grievously injured creature purportedly leaped or limped off into a bid to escape, but was set upon by one of Tubi's sons, who pounced on it and apparently cut its head off with a hunting knife.
Holy crap. Okay. So,
Tubi's kid is just, which was a giant.
Right, 7-footer.
Is sitting on his back of it, this ape that's trying to get away, sitting on his back, grabbing him at the head and just starts sawing at his head with his hunting knife.
And he got it, too.
Yeah. In the aftermath, it was just a few of the Native American warriors posed and ready for the next attack, but it never came. The smell of gun smoke and the fetid stench of death, faces in urine, lingered all around them. Sorry, feces and urine linger all around them. Mm-hmm. In the background, Tubi's son crouched over the hulking beast with his blood-soaked knife on his hand in his hands. The Native Americans then went to the grim work of burying all the dead bodies that they had found in the mound. They were giving them a proper burial.
Right, yeah.
Finding the bodies of at least 19 children.
Oh.
Among several adults and the body of a hulking beast were buried on a bonfire.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
So without a doubt, a harrowing, terrifying tale filled with mysteries, monsters, and the sheer otherworldly bizarreness. The tale was passed around on the internet for quite a time. It was seemed too good to be true, and maybe because perhaps it was. The tales do indeed incorporate very historical figures like LaFleur, and seem to who had indeed been a real person who did die in 1855. And the Tubies are apparently real as well, but the means little for a larger picture, as any historical figure can be inserted into any story that anybody wants to create. Not helping the matter, while the story was made its rounds on the internet, the best source that anybody can truly find is in a book titled The True Bigfoot Horror, The Apex Predator, Monsters in the Woods, Cryptozoology, Terrifying, Violent, and True Encounters with Sasquatch, Hunting People, Cryptozoology, Sasquatch, Paranormal, Volume 1. That's a title.
That's a long title.
30 words.
That's one book?
Yeah. So by Jeremy Kelly, which seemed to be a collection of unconfirmed Bigfoot anecdotes, newspaper clippings, and other stories from history.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, so it's, I mean, you know, like, not saying anything about Jeremy Kelly, just it's a collection of, you know, passed down stories about scary Bigfoot encounters.
Right.
And right. So this was in there.
Okay.
As well as reviews that are, well, shall we say, are not kind on the book, are found all over the internet.
So are people suggesting that maybe these stories aren't entirely true?
There's a lot of people suggesting, and I don't know. I don't have this book, and I don't know this author.
Okay.
So I'm not saying anything about the validity of either side.
Okay.
But there are a lot of people accusing him of maybe not due diligence, at the very least.
And just taking the story at face value and...
And then there's a lot of people more accusatory towards a bunch of make-em-ups.
Oh, like he's just making up the stories. Yes. Okay. Okay.
But like I said, so that's where we'll go to the ad break here in a minute, and then we'll kind of go back through the story and talk about some of the aspects of it. It's a weird one, and this is one, like I said, thank you, Midwest Skywatchers, for kind of sending this my way, because I found it very fascinating. We'll talk about validity and some important parts of the case. But the names are real. Him and his sons were reported to be giants, as in modern word of giants.
Yeah, I mean, 7 foot tall is a giant.
I don't know if they were actually 7 foot tall.
Okay.
That may be one of those embellishments.
Okay.
But Tubi and his kids were massive.
Okay.
So more maybe like our buddy TJ.
Yeah.
Where they were still humongous people,
mm-hmm.
but in believability of people.
That's just, I just seen this... old footage just last night, actually, of a sumo wrestler from like the 40s and 50s, mm-hmm. black and white footage. And so after, if you're really good at sumo wrestling and you're at the top of the charts or whatever, and when you retire, you have the opportunity to become like a coach, basically. So the coaches are on the sidelines and they're the judges for the matches then after, you know, when you become that. So when he walked out in his robes, and there's old footage of him just walking beside the ring, going to his seat. Mm-hmm. And he's just as tall as the guys inside the ring.
But he's on the ground.
But he's on the ground. And he's got like the really big, oversized like eyebrow muscles, mm-hmm. or you know what I'm talking about?
The heavy brow ridge,
yeah,
right?
Like what really big people, almost like when you see people even with like gigantism or something, they develop that, just oversized. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it looked oversized. And they called him a giant. He looked like a giant. I seen the video. He's huge. So I looked it up, how big he actually was. He was only 6'7.5", but
I mean, that's, go on, sorry. Just
say, now modern times,
6'7" is still.
Yeah. Well, back then, this was in the 40s when that video was, or 50s yeah. when that video was taken. So yeah, he looked like a actual giant because everyone around him also was only like, we're in Japan here. Everyone around him was like,
I don't know what the average height for a Japanese
it's not
man
tall.
Is.
I
know they're not.
This is modern times too. This is back in the 40s and 50s. The average height, I imagine, is even maybe shorter a little bit. But either way, the guys in the ring that were doing the cleaning and stuff, and that he was just as tall as, had to be just like over 5 foot, you know, mid five.
5'7" is right now the average height.
Right
in
now,
Japan,
yeah. So I don't know.
An adult man.
I don't know if it was even less, you know, 75 years ago. But yeah, he looked like an actual giant.
I mean,
even the way he walked, everything just looked unbelievable. But he's only 6'7", but it was awesome. And then I found some footage of him actually fighting and wrestling. It's pretty cool.
You actually found footage of that guy wrestling?
Yeah, I asked someone to send it, and someone did. They, like, here's, like, an old, there's, like, old footage from, like, decades ago. And yeah. they'll play, like, certain matches and stuff. And he was in it. The guy's like, yeah, go to this video at 13 minutes, 59 seconds. And then, sure enough, there it was. It's pretty cool.
So before we cut to ad break, and we come back and kind of talk about some of this stuff and kind of break down the case, the Junior Anglers of Indian Lake, if you want to get your kids fishing, sign them up with that. The guys and gals that help it out with that are amazing. If you want to donate to them, there's also a link below for that. If you have fishing company or you have any kind of stuff outdoorsy that you think kids would really enjoy, I know that's a big part of it, is giving kids free gear and getting them out there. Me and Jay, like we already talked about, we did the ice fishing trip with them this year, like the safety course, mm-hmm. and all those kids got cleats. They got ice spikes. They got all the safety gear, and a couple of them got free fishing poles.
Yeah, when they won the ice crawl.
That was from me, but there was another group that did donate.
Okay, cool.
A couple other poles to some kids.
Nice, yeah.
So, you know, it's good. It's good to get kids out here.
Future anglers of Indian Lake.
Yeah, because if you don't get your kids in nature, they won't appreciate it. If they don't appreciate it, they won't protect it. If they don't protect it, nobody will.
Mm-hmm. That's all the
right.
truth.
Let's have an ad break, and we'll be right back. So, Jay, I just heard the Flavors of the Forest crew just did an expedition to the Lovelock Caves.
In Nevada?
Home of the red-haired giants.
Oh, did they discover a red-headed giant?
Nope. They discovered something even better.
A ginger of another sort?
A ginger of another sort. Now coming out very soon, Flavors of the Forest, Bigfoot Breath with ginger.
A ginger flavor to add to my food?
Yes. It's coming very soon. Be on the lookout for these new flavors, helped develop by maybe the Nephilim, maybe the Mound Milders. All we know is they had red hair and they're gingers.
And it's delicious. And you can find this flavor and the other flavors on flavorsforest.com/corn.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
Did I hear you say Mound Milders?
No, it's Mound Builders.
Oh, okay. Just making sure.
Which will come to the mound. No, I wasn't joking with you earlier. I did not have that thought.
Mm-hmm.
I was just so tired and so exhausted working on this. I'm like, I found a Mysterious Universe article where most of this came from. And then did some extra research. And I like I said, the Midwest Night Watcher sent it over. And it just seemed like a fascinating thing. So we'll talk about the validity. We'll talk about some cases of this. So in 1855... This was the Choctaw Nation area. This part of Oklahoma, Arkansas, the West, was ran by the Choctaw, and it's like later on where the Trail of Tears comes in. Mm. This is where a lot of the Eastern tribes were sent to also, which caused many, many, many problems.
Okay.
Because there was already people living there.
Huh.
And the government at the time was like, well, Native American's Native American. It was not.
Huh. Sounds familiar to the modern times.
It's governments. It's just governments. Right, what they do. Yeah.
Just displacing people.
Yeah.
Even though they've been there for generations and generations and generations.
But Tuscaloosa is a pretty interesting place.
Yeah.
I mean, it just is. In that whole area.
Have you been, there, right? Mm-hmm. Like
I've been to this area.
Region,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I've been to actual Tuscaloosa.
Right.
But I've been to the Oklahoma, Arkansas, this corner of the country. It's a gorgeous quarter of the country. You can really see how a powerful nation could really survive and thrive there.
Mm-hmm.
It's very resource bountiful until you put everybody there. But you got to know how to use it, right?
Right. There's balance.
If you're from the Appalachian Mountains, you may not be able to survive the sloughs.
Ooh.
It's a very different environment.
That's right.
So let's talk about the warriors and the tribe and the people. So this happened supposedly over a couple years.
Okay. So it wasn't like a one weekend
thing. Monsters were attacking. Keep in mind, there's no... I see this on some of the reports. People are like, well, why did it take so long for them to react? And how did this happen? There's no postal service. There's no cell phones, no internet, nothing like that. I think we kind of forget that. I mean, even the postal service, right? Or the news and stuff like that.
Pony Express.
I mean, yeah, to the Choctaw Nation.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like they were getting ready to be exterminated by the U.S. government.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But no, so I thought it was pretty fast for them to organize over a year, a posse and stuff like that, and get warriors together. And
well, it must have either, it must have been a big, serious, pretty serious situation.
What happened, and so it happened enough, like you're saying,
yeah,
that it was serious enough, and it traveled through the whole nation
fast.
To the leader.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's serious. So Hamas Tubi is real. You can find him and his six sons. You can find reports of them. You can find historical accounts of them.
Mm-hmm.
They were real people. They were very large people.
Hmm.
I don't have an actual height estimate on them, but some of the stuff I looked up about them just said they were extremely large men.
That's pretty interesting.
So in my head, I don't think the 7 foot tall thing, I think that could be embellishment. But, I mean, maybe not. I mean,
yeah, maybe not. You never know.
TJ's, what is he? He's 6'5", 6'6", maybe.
Something like that, yeah.
And then I know his son is taller than him.
Okay.
So his son's maybe, you know, 6'8". That's basically 7 foot tall, especially if you're not.
Right.
If you're not that tall.
Right.
Because I know they tower over me.
Absolutely.
And it's only, what? I mean, really, it's only 8 or 9 inches taller than me, but we talk about that with scaling. You know, the taller you get, the more massive your frame also gets. It has to. So they're just big people. And LaFleur was also an extremely famous Choctaw general.
Okay.
Tons and tons of historical accounts all up and down. You can find.
He definitely existed.
And he definitely died in 1855.
Okay.
So his death date matches the story. Do you have any thoughts or questions in this part?
Well, I'm just going to say, if the story is made up and fake, I mean, that's easy details to, as
sure.
Someone that's telling the story.
You can look this up. You can find all that.
Right, yeah.
I mean, Tubi and LaFleur were very famous also in this, if you want to look up this part of the country.
Right.
And this tribe.
Right. Sorry. I'm not immediately thinking it's, like, false or anything, but I'm just.
No, I'm just.
Right.
Just saying that, you know, these are things to think about when we're talking about the validity of any story.
Absolutely, yeah.
That these, unlike a lot of the stories we talk about, these are real places that I can find.
With real people.
With real people that did exist and death dates
that
match.
Yep, that are accurate, have been corroborated.
Yeah. I mean, for anything from the 1800s, that's pretty good.
It is, yeah.
And there's even a couple journal entries and stuff like that or historical remarks about these bandits. Or a bandit, maybe not the giant ape monsters, but problems happening inside the Choctaw Nation with robbing and stuff like that. But that happened with a lot of the major tribes in the 1800s.
Okay.
Like we already said, you know, tribes getting pushed against their borders, you know, from the expanding U.S. government at the time, and settlers coming out west further and stuff like that.
Continuing to push the natives.
Yeah. And so, I mean, we talked about that when you went to Basin season finale with the Utes and the Navajo. is kind of these two groups that had a lot of peace for a long time getting shoved into each other on both sides. And so the fight, you know, fighting occurs.
Right. Yeah.
When borders aren't respected, fighting occurs. Mm-hmm. Whether it's your fault that borders aren't respected or not, you know, is kind of out, you know, nobody's thinking about that.
Neither here or there.
Yeah. But fully armed, I mean, this has kind of that, I wouldn't say cartoony, but that war party look from like the little, not the little prairie, but some of the Western movies, right?
Okay.
You know, where the war party comes up over the hill and stuff like that.
Oh, yes, yes. Okay. Gotcha. Which
the Choctaw were amazing horse riders.
And then there's a standstill showdown where they just stare at each other.
Yeah. Because they're going to win.
Right.
So a lot of that stuff.
Until their horse gets backhanded.
Well,
and their head gets ripped off.
So what do you think of this part of the story so far? Everything from the chief, the generals, the Choctaw Nation, just the history and locations with it.
No, I think it's very, very, very interesting. I want to believe this is real because this is one heck of a piece of history.
A lot of kids died.
Oh, gosh. Is that documented?
No. Okay. Well, let's wait for that. If you wouldn't mind.
Okay.
Because we'll get to that. This is not, I mean, big cities didn't have accurate birth, death records, you know, unless you were famous.
Right.
Like LaFleur, you know, he was very.
Cheap cornstalk.
Gosh, well, they did that. It's easy to have a death record when you're the one that does it.
That's true, too.
Yeah, I shot him in the head, so I can write that down.
Right, yeah.
He died on this day. I was there.
I seen it happen.
I did it.
It was me.
So the McCurtain County Wilderness Area is huge. It's awesome. It's still super Bigfooty to this day. Mm. In modern-day Oklahoma. But yeah, the Clover River is a real place. 14-hour journey. I mean, horseback, that probably makes sense. I did not look into that. I just assumed. But yeah, crew telescope. It was a fun picture.
What's that?
Him had like flare, like peeking out of his
telescope. Looking at the... Well, and that just reminded me, too, of like modern day when guys are looking at it through their scope. In the rifle?
Yeah. That's shooting these Bigfoot and stuff like that, and they're just looking back at you?
Right, yeah. And that's what they do.
Yeah, I mean, they know it. They know you're looking at them.
Mm-hmm.
If these are even Bigfoot.
Bum, bum, bum.
Oh, gosh, man. I'm really losing. I'm fighting everybody at home to keep talking. But it's hard.
You can do it.
Yeah. But this smell, so instantly. So let's talk about this. So 36-ish horseback riders hit this wall of smell where the horses absolutely lose their mind. Only a couple of the people could keep their horses going. And that is an interesting thing that is true about horses. The deeper your bond goes with a horse, the more you can get them to do outside of what they are willing to do.
Huh.
So that's why like all these people talk. If you watch any Western movies, they talk about a good horse is worth 10 men.
Okay.
Because if you have a good horse, and you have a horse that trusts you and you trust,
yep,
it will go outside of anything it wants to do, like standing up against a bear, not taking off, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was trying to think. So you ever seen people have to like brand and tag cows with the horses?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
And the horse, gets a good horse, will stand between the mom and the calf.
Yep.
Keep its body.
We just talked about this recently, I feel like.
I probably.
Like the guy, the farmer, there was a farmer that had a cow that was kind of like eyeballing him.
No, that's Rufus, and another cow came in and saved
him. Okay. Well, then I just seen another.
He used a second bull.
Oh, you're right. He called in the other bull. I just watched something recently, too, of a horse standing in between. It was a bull kind of coming around.
That's. I mean, they're trained to do it. Yep. I mean, if you have a horse that trusts you and you trust it,
mm-hmm.
they will do that for you. Most horses will not because you don't. It takes. Horses live to be in their 30s.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a decade. Time. It takes a decade to build bonding. That.
Yeah.
Yeah. Horses can form extremely strong bonds, but it takes a long time and a lot of trust to do that. So it just was interesting to me that it seems the most apt horseback riders were the ones able to push through it when maybe the other ones weren't.
Gotcha.
Because it was Tubi and a couple of his sons and LaFleur, which LaFleur, from at least these reports and talking about it, was the most advanced horseback rider in the group.
Hmm.
So he was the one that got his horse didn't even question, like really. You know, he got his horse back under control, and then the horse just kept going. What?
Horse should have stopped.
Well, I mean.
His horse should have stopped.
It did die immediately, you know, seconds.
Yeah.
So they hit this wall of smell, this decay, this panic. What do you think about that?
I think you nailed it with what the smell was.
I cheated.
Okay.
Because I knew.
Yeah, well, I think you were right. It's dead bodies.
Well, I mean, do you still think it was anything with the infrasound?
No. No, when you have that a mound of dead corpses, actively decomposing.
I want to make sure you understand, the mound itself, which we'll talk about, was not the dead bodies. There was an earthenwork mound.
Right, and they were shoved into it.
Like a Twinkie with the filling.
Right, exactly. There you go. That's a good way to put it. That's a great way to put it. So they're the filling.
Yeah, all the rotting kids, yes.
Yes. So yeah, I'd imagine that's the smell. I don't care how bad Bigfoot smells.
Yeah, no, I do not think. I want to make that clear. I do not think it was Bigfoot. It was stinky.
Right. When you have a mound stuffed to the gills,
full of rotting people,
it will
stink. It will be stinky.
Just a little bit.
And there was adults mixed in as well as some of the livestock that had gone missing. So it's just this big cooking pot of rotting mammal flesh.
Maybe they're using it as like a compost pile to heat their. They're Bigfoot huts.
So you're pretty sure the smell was just the rotting corpses?
Yeah.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah.
Just checking, because I've seen some places online kind of forget that there was a big pile of rotting people.
Yeah.
And really still go with that's the smell of Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm. Which maybe, could be both, but I haven't...
It could be,
but I'm still going to use my logic and say that mass of rotting corpses is going to overpower.
If you're within a mile of a rotting cow, you know.
Shoot, yeah.
Even sometimes when you're upwind, so you shouldn't be able to smell it, it still will perforate close enough to the ground.
Mm.
You know there is
something dead.
A big rotting mammal.
Shoot.
And mammal has a really, really distinct smell.
Oh, yeah, it does.
At least for humans, because we're programmed that way.
Yeah.
Because that's where we can get diseases, and that's our predators, you know.
Even a dead tiny mouse, they stink.
For weeks.
Oh, but it's strong.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so they see these things. So the conflict, how it starts, there's these three massive, and I couldn't find anywhere that really gave a good size estimate of these three beasts.
Okay.
Just that it dwarfed Tubi and his kids.
Which, it's saying something. We're at Gigantopithecus height.
I don't know if they're 15 foot tall or 12 foot tall. I don't know. I kind of pictured the 8 to 10.
Let me ask you this. Would an 8 footer standing over a 7 footer, would you consider that dwarfing them?
Yeah, mostly because of the width as well.
Well, let me ask you this.
So I guess I consider, like, if TJ's kid stood behind me, he would dwarf me, even though he's only 8 inches taller than me. He's wider, and he's just all around like a bigger guy.
Oh, fair enough.
So an 8 foot or 9 foot Sasquatch-like creature, even though it's a foot or two taller than Tubi and his kids, it still would just... I mean, think about how wide Sasquatch is compared to a human.
That's true.
I mean, it's still going to dwarf... They're a wall of flesh and fur.
Mm. Just trying to imagine it in my head, I guess.
Like I said, I don't know if they're 15 feet tall.
I guess, what's the definition of dwarf when you're dwarfing? So it's gray.
Mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm. Oh, so LaFleur sees these three creatures. And they don't even care about the war party. They're just cold and stone cold. Does that remind you of anything or make you think of anything?
Hmm. It probably should. It sounds kind of familiar that they don't care. I don't know, like Skinwalker?
I mean, I could see Skinwalker, but there are some of these Bigfoot cases with some of these absolutely massive individuals that like you mentioned it earlier, see people with rifles. And just do not care.
Right.
Because they know if you shoot me with that thing, I'm going to kill you long before you kill me.
Yeah.
And they're just, I don't know. To me, there just seems to be, that's a big follow through with some of these actually monster Sasquatch encounters.
Hmm.
What's your thoughts?
Well, I mean, again, I still want to believe that this is real. So I don't know. Let's just keep digging into it a bit more before I make a final judgment. But
so LaFleur jumps up, starts running at him, takes his pistol and his saber out.
Right.
And I found an account where he did strike the Bigfoot with the saber, and that's what was profusely bleeding after he had shot the Bigfoot, you know, 6 times with his pistol.
Okay.
And then the Mysterious Universe account, where they retell it, was he never struck him with the saber. He just shot him six times, and the bullet holes were profusely bleeding.
Yeah. I mean, either way, you're going to be bleeding a lot if either one of them happened.
Yeah, yeah. But then the Bigfoot not caring the whole time, like, just taking it. Like, he said, you know, had no ifs, ands, or buts, just did not care, and then grabbed his head.
Gosh.
And just ripped it off. Oh, sorry, I missed it, that he slapped the horse. He backhanded a horse to death.
That's right, I forgot about that part.
Which horses do not have the will to live.
All horses?
Not all horses, but 99.7% of horses.
Why do you say that, I guess?
Oh, so for instance, so you know they use the same chemical to put down horses and dogs, all right? If you got to euthanize an animal or a human, it's the same chemical. It takes 1/10 the amount to put down a 2,000-pound horse as it does to put it down a 100-pound dog.
Wow.
Because dogs are maybe a poor example for this case because they really have the will to live. Dogs will put like cancer and broken legs and crawl around and stuff like that. Like,
they'll keep going.
A dog will, a horse will not.
They're just done.
And I think it could be biological programming because of how lanky they're built.
Okay.
That like some of the other quadrupeds that like, if they hurt their ankle, they're done. So what's the point of just hanging on for 3 weeks, starving to death?
Right, yeah. They're just ready to go.
Yeah, so that's always been a joke, I guess, in the farm community is that horses don't have the will to live because any injury and stuff like that, they're done.
They're going to die, yeah.
There has been cases where they build like full apparatuses to get horses to heal an ankle.
Okay.
And it still doesn't work every time after spending $500,000.
I think I've seen that where they make like false, not false legs, but like a...
No, for the first 6 months, I got to be in a harness that lifts them off the ground so I can still move around the other three legs.
Okay.
And then half the time when that situation happens, it's almost always racehorses so they can keep breeding. Even like they're done racing forever.
Yeah.
But if they can get them healed, they don't have to artificially inseminate. They can get them to keep breeding. And then still some of them just don't have the will to continue after that. Like they'll just put their head down and just be like,
checking out.
Shoot me.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's their role though is.
I mean, I think it's environmental factors of just in nature, generally speaking, any injury to a horse
is fatal. Over. Yeah.
So any injury, even though they didn't have to be fatal now. Anyways. So he slaps LaFleur's horse. LaFleur horse, whatever. And then just rips his head off. What do you think about that? Does that sound very Bigfooty?
Oh, yeah. Portlock, Alaska kind of sounding. It sounds like aggressive Bigfoot behavior.
Does it?
Like bad, yeah.
All right. And then he dies. Obviously, LaFleur dies. Then all the rest of the cavalry gets there. Starts shooting these things with their rifles constantly. Two of them run away. The one that I presume it's the one that was already previously injured.
It's the one that Tubi jumped.
It's the one that dropped and started trying to crawl away.
Okay.
And Tubi's kid.
Son jumped
on it and started trying to saw its head off, and then he did.
With a pocket knife.
Oh, no, a hunting knife.
I know, I'm just joking.
I'm picturing like Crocodile Dundee stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That big, like, 18-inch, like,
like, that's not knife. A knife. This is a knife.
Just holding it by the ponytail, sawing at it.
Well, do you think it was a stone knife or a metal?
I think it was metal.
Okay.
It didn't have to be metal. I guess it could be any of their workings. I don't know much about the Choctaw tribe.
Me either.
And what they made.
And I didn't know what they had access to in the 18, what was it?
There was heavy trade with the settled world.
Right.
I don't know what else to call it. The government of the United States at that time.
Right.
There was heavy trade with settlers and stuff like that, or pioneers or whatever you want to call them.
Okay.
That's the same way they got all the guns.
What's that?
The Choctaw. That's how they trading or
oh war, okay, or fighting. Understood.
They acquired enough weapons. Rifles.
Yeah, rifles. And
so I think it would be much easier to get a hunting knife than it would be a rifle.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know that for sure though. So he jumps on his head or jumps on him, cuts off his head, and the other two run away. That's kind of the end of the skirmish. Let's talk about the mound.
Okay.
The mound's, I think, the weirdest part of this story.
A little bit.
Like, it's not a cave. They made it a very big point to make sure it's illustrated as an earthen mound that had a hole in it that the bodies were being stored in or shoved in.
Was the hole from the top down, or where was that in the mound?
So, keep in mind, 1855.
They don't say.
We've lost some stuff. I've seen depictions of this researching this where I kind of made the joke about a Twinkie. or like a cream-filled donut.
Yeah.
That's most of the time what I see depictions as. Is it's an giant earthwork with a hole in one end, and his bodies are being stored in there.
Okay.
I've also seen it where it's more like a volcano shape. Like it's a pit they're throwing them all in.
So it's whoever the artist's description.
Kind of. The earthen mound, you much more think of that classical longer shape.
Okay.
Like a donut. So what do you think about that? I mean, you said some things, but what do you really think about that?
Well, I just thought maybe it, at first, you know, if this isn't a Bigfoot, but if it's really happened, it's something else. Maybe it is the fairy mound, and that's why they're so aggressive, because they were closing in on it.
I really did not have the fairy mound down at all, which is interesting.
But I don't know why they'd stuff it full of human flesh.
So we can talk about the Bigfoot fairy connection.
Okay.
This could be everything from, I mean, we've talked about the Bigfoot fae becoming extremely aggressive towards humans, especially with caves and mounds and stuff like you're saying, to where remember the one from Wisconsin had people that had gone missing on their property near their mound.
And I think I remember, but.
And they had Bigfoot, they themselves had a Bigfoot activity near that mound, and that their father had always said, you know, just like had to talk to the clouds that were like giant fly clouds.
Okay.
Until we'll clean up when we leave. Remember, we'll clean up in the morning. We promise we'll clean up in the morning because they left the campsite dirty.
I feel like I remember.
It was from, I'm drawing a blank now. Wisconsin. They had the ant mound on them.
Cheese caves.
Yeah, the cheese caves.
No, I'm just kidding. I think it's in Illinois. Anyways.
Yeah, I think it is Illinois, Indiana, something like that. Yeah. So I didn't even think about that connection, but the giant mass of flies kind of makes me think fae now, too, or demonic.
Definitely. Well,
but it could also be the hundreds of rotting corpses in a hole.
I was
going to
say that, because you get, if you get a bunch of flies, you get, and you said they were already half decomposed.
Yeah, some of them were, yeah.
There could be millions in there.
Sure.
Like, easily. It's no, I've seen, like, thousands of maggots. I remember being a kid. You know, not as much as recently, now that I think about it.
All the insects are dead.
Yeah, which is kind of crazy now that I think about it. But I remember, and this is kind of gross, viewer discretion advised, but being a little kid, I remember one year we had rats in the back of our barn.
Really?
Yeah, it was just one year. And
I haven't seen a rat in forever.
Me either. And even as a kid, I hardly ever saw them. But I remember this one year we had rats in our barn, and they were big. And I remember Dad getting these rat traps out, and I remember he caught three of them in one trap.
Gosh.
Three monsters, and it snapped them and killed them. But I remember I found the trap as a little kid, and found it with the three in it, and I'm like, ugh, you know, gross, Dad, look. And I think I kicked it with my foot and flipped it over, and when they flipped over, that's when I seen the gross, like, they were just thousands of maggots.
Oh,
it was gross.
I have to give a warning on this one.
Well, I did. I said viewer discretion advised.
I meant in the title or something.
Okay. Oh, it was disgusting. But I was like, whoop! It like ran away immediately. But like, so I can't imagine. You know, that might explain the flies.
A tube full of humans.
Yeah, a tube full of humans.
So why would they be doing that for the? Is it just that somehow that the locals had angered them, and they're just killing?
I mean, could be.
Is it? Like you said, in Portlock, maybe, and nothing to do with the people that end up fighting the Bigfoot. But what if a local that end up shooting a kid Bigfoot or something?
And this is retaliation?
Yeah, I mean, like you brought up Portlock, which I'm glad you did, because there is some similarities to Portlock.
Like an eye for an eye kind of situation?
Yeah, even Ape Canyon, what happens is they go nuts. If you take a pot shot or kill a baby Bigfoot or a young Bigfoot, the adults go nuts. So this may be one of the few examples we have where the people couldn't leave. So that's why it got to maybe this level of death and destruction.
And who knows if someone took out a kid or something, but with Native Americans, I don't know. They seem
to say it was the Native American doing it. They're the guys that live there.
Yeah.
So it could have been pioneers or settlers or whatever going through their territory.
I still feel like the Bigfoot would know.
I don't know if they would care at that point. People are people. Because they started doing that. That's why they stopped talking to the Native Americans. They stopped doing the powwows with Native Americans.
I guess. But that was, I don't know. Who knows why?
I No, that was, I mean, there's stories, they're individual I tribe. It could be one of the tribe members, though, shooting at one, scaring it away if it's getting into their vegetable patch. And like they said, that's how it started, is the stealing of vegetables.
Right.
And then livestock, and then people.
Mm-hmm.
So what if there was just one getting in somebody's vegetable patch and somebody had shot it, you know, looking out there, or it was the end of one of the babies.
And then it just realized, oh, I can just eat these things, the well, people.
I'm still saying maybe killed one of the offspring.
Right, yeah, no, that'd be
and
bad.
Then the parents find just the dead body, and it's not great.
No, I'd go a little angry.
Yeah. I don't know, because they couldn't leave. The Fae, I mean, could just be, I mean, you could even go the demonic angle. Shoving all these corpses into a hole almost sounds like some kind of ritual or some kind of appeasement.
That's what I was going to say. Or not ritual, not appeasement.
Sacrifice.
Yeah, basically like on the altar, like yeah. Like an altar kind of thing. Like you're, I guess sacrificing or just giving your offering. It's an offering. That's his offering plate. Ooh. Yeah, I don't want to be a Bigfoot offering.
And these may not even been Bigfoots.
No, that's the whole thing. It could be something else completely.
You kind of said the one earlier and I went past it, so I think it may be.
What did I say? I don't even remember now.
Skinwalkers.
Oh, skinwalker.
Skinwalkers situation. Deal all kinds of torture and death of kids for powers and rituals and stuff like that. So what if these were three skinwalkers in their bestial forms?
Or what if it wasn't even three? What if it was just
the one? Like just one guy? What do you think? These are homunculi, or these are him projecting as three things?
Projecting, or if he can just...
Him, her, they?
Split, you know, split into...
Three things at the same time.
Because things come in trios. Like that's
Mock the Holy Trinity.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of demonic stuff mocks the Holy Trinity.
Yeah. I mean, everything, because you got the binary in life where black, everything's either black or white. You know, it's, you know, I'm speaking in, what's the word? Hyperbole, I guess.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's in the binary system, black and white. And then, when it comes to three, then you got an option. Things can either be this, that, or a third other. And they all got balance like rock, paper, scissors. You know, there's balance. I don't know.
Well, you know, I can see skinwalkery stuff,
mm-hmm.
that kind of stuff happening. Do you have any other thoughts or what it could be or any other things that stuck out in your mind?
Well, either a Bigfoot or skinwalker or a... If I'm kind of sticking with the Fae mound, that's what it could be, maybe it could be Fae type or demonic beings that are taking that shape or form. And did they mention the eyes?
No.
Dang, that would have been.
I mean, they may have. We'll talk. That's the last thing I want to end on.
Okay. Now, had they mentioned red eyes?
1855.
Yeah. Right. Lost a lot of details.
At best, this is a story. It was written down from somebody else writing it down, from somebody else telling them.
Yeah. So I get it. Things can be lost. But it had that detail stuck in there.
Sure.
That would be lead me to believe it's demonic. More demonic.
Demonic would be easy then.
Or, you know, demonic, fairy.
Shoving bodies of kids in a hole.
Yeah.
And having glowing red eyes. That's not a hard one.
A beast. Just a beast. Maybe this is what the Grafton Monster was really like.
I was going
to
say Hodags.
Yeah, Hodags.
This is actually three Hodags.
Oh, gosh. Don't get me started.
No, so I guess the final thing is, do you think this was real? Do you think this happened? Or what percent would you give it?
78%.
Fake or real?
Real.
Why?
Because with the figures, they were real figures.
Well, like you said yourself, is that they were very known people.
So, yeah.
It's not like this is some obscure guy that you would have to look up to even prove was real.
Okay. Here, wait, then let's start over. 78%.
What'd you say originally? I don't remember.
78. But okay. No, you got to ask me why again.
Why?
Just because that's how I feel.
Yeah, good. Good.
That's why. I just want to believe, okay?
That's fine. I'm just saying you bring up good points, though.
Yeah, I know.
Because like LaFleur and Tubi were both well-known figures.
Right, yeah.
In the Choctaw Nation at the time.
I really want to know, like, if his sons were actually that tall.
Like what? How tall? Seven foot?
Like 7-footers. Even
people get 7 foot. I mean, right. 7 foot is extremely tall for a human, but it's...
But across the board, like, if his sons were, relatively around that height all the way across, there's genetics involved at that point.
Yeah, at least one of his sons was bigger than him. So they were all giant men.
So where do those genetics come from?
Oh, yeah, the Nephilim.
And then, right, that's what I'm saying. Just going back with giants, I mean, if they were, if the Native Americans had giants with them and amongst them, it just seems like they were all around the world. They were here forever. Giants, and now it were just to modern times is when they've been gone, and that's when they're telling us they never existed. Hmm. But yeah, all these old stories, it was just commonplace.
I'm pretty sure this is not real, at least in the full retelling. I think there could be truth to this.
Mm-hmm.
I think it could be a story based on a true story,
mm-hmm.
and stuff has been changed or altered or messed up. Because, like I said, there is a little bit of corroboration with some of the figures and some of the dates and missing kids. Oh, that's one thing I said we'd talk about again. No, I have no proof of any of the missing kids besides a couple journal entries that people point back to.
Okay,
from like this basically a village inside the Choctaw Nation had a kid or two go missing.
Okay.
Kind of deal.
But we didn't have like a missing child.
No,
no milk cartons back in those days.
This is the Choctaw Nation,
not the
U.S. government had at the time in 1855, they had no idea who was dying unless you had wealth,
like it being a native.
No,
oh, everybody in general
as a white person in the American government in 1855.
Yeah,
they did not keep the best death record, and I know they did keep death records. They did keep death records, but they had very poor death records and very poor birth records. So like I said, if you weren't a contributing member to that government or society,
they didn't care.
It fell through often because there's no money. Like just taxation was really the only reason they were keeping that hard of tabs on anybody. So if you were poor,
just as they are now,
gosh, well now they print a second birth certificate every time. Anyway, it's a whole thing.
And then clone you. Oh, wait, that's just the famous celebrities. Sorry.
They sign up for that. It's in your contract. It's one of the record deals. You just got to read the fine print. It's like 0.05
after
font.
They brainwash them to sign it.
Well, no, that's part of signing it.
Oh, true, yeah.
You know, the brainwash doesn't happen after you sign it.
Oh, yeah. Wait, no. I don't.
Ariana Grande just talked about the memory forgetting therapy.
I just seen that.
Good for her. But no, so I could see, like I said, the kids, the deaths of these kids, the missing parts, these like the missing persons or anything like that. There's no proof, but I guess I'm saying there's no reason to be proof, unless I guess it was like a lot of kids, and maybe some of the sellers' kids went missing too, and then they could connect it back. Then there would be reports.
Let's just go find that mound. We'll find teeth in there.
I don't want to find that mound.
Why?
I'm pretty sure if it does exist, it's an extremely evil place.
This was 170 years ago.
Yeah, demons don't age, I don't think.
I mean, after 150 years, they age a little bit.
I don't think
they
so.
Move at least.
They move.
Yeah, they're nomadic.
No, they just keep walking in circles out there until they have somebody else to rip apart.
Well,
slap it to somebody else's horse.
We just got to, just don't ride your horse out there. Let's see him slap my Ford F-150 there. Yeah, it's got dual gas tanks there. You want to hit
Ford F-150 with dual gas tanks?
I do, yeah. That's what we're going to take down to Arkansas. See, it's perfect.
There you go. No, I think this is, at least in its current retelling, a fake story.
Okay. Well, then I'm going to lean towards, like you said, its origins are real.
There may have been a real event that happened to inspire this,
mm-hmm.
and then it's been embellished, or and extras were added, or facts and things were changing. Maybe it was the Navajo Nation, not the Choctaw Nation.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, you know, there's all kinds of things that could be different. All I know is the two guys from the beginning are real, and the one guy did die in 1855.
Facts. Those are facts.
So let us know what you think below. If you're listening on Spotify, you can comment and just tell us what you think of the episode.
Yeah, have you heard of the Bigfoot War?
No, and I'm glad they told me, because it is, I guess it's more talked about in some of these Bigfoot cases. There are, in modern day, there are many different retellings of this story.
Uh-huh.
I won't name out any groups, but looking up for the episode, like researching and stuff like that, I will say, if your group is a paranormal Sasquatch group, there is definitely a paranormal Sasquatch version of this story. And if your group is a flesh and blood Bigfoot group, there is definitely a flesh and blood version of this story. So I went with Mysterious Universe mostly because it seemed to be pretty down the middle.
Yeah.
But you can find a heavily leaning story either way, which is like most of this stuff.
That fits how you believe about Bigfoot, I guess.
Yeah.
Tale as old as time.
A tale as old as time.
Song as old as rhyme. Is that what they say?
Beauty and the Beast.
Ah, see. Tule. What was his name? The Tule? The name of the...
Tubi.
Tubi. Like the streaming service. He's the beauty.
It is not spelled that way, but I did not realize it sounded like that until you just said that out.
Me either, until just now. So you get on Tubi. Yeah. Go watch the Battle of Bigfoot. Battle with Bigfoot on Tubi.
I said, because I thought this was going to be a shorter episode.
Is that what this episode was about?
Yeah, the Battle of Tubi.
The Battle of Bigfoot on Tubi. Featured on Tubi, yeah.
All right, I have been the Great and Powerful Mystery.
And I've been JClone78.
We'll catch you next week, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the J clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye! Bye.
This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9/1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.